Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. Today's Father's Day, and on today's show, we talk to Sergeants John McCann and Tim Berg, two fathers and Minnesota National Guard soldiers, about Father's Day. And we also talk to Deborah Kane, the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Father's Day is celebrated to pay tribute to all of the fathers of the world. In short, it is dedicated to fatherhood, the second most important relationship after motherhood. While fathers do anything and everything for the betterment of their children, this day allows kids to pay their sincere admiration and respect towards their dad. As one young boy once remarked, Father's Day, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much. General Douglas MacArthur once said, by profession, I'm a soldier and take pride in that fact, but I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The father only builds, never destroys. Today, I would like to honor our military fathers. Being a father is a tough job. You are called upon to be a moral compass to your children. You are a provider, a disciplinarian, and a comforter. So, to my fellow fathers who have served both family and country honorably, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Sergeant First Class John McCann and Sergeant First Class Tim Berg join us. They are recruiters with the Minnesota National Guard and also fathers of Minnesota National Guard soldiers. Sergeants, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Sergeant McCann, can you tell me how long have you been in the service and have you been deployed?
Yes, sir. I've been in the military for 27 and a half years. I deployed to Iraq for 2 years after I've been a recruiter for about 8 years. And I came back. I've been a recruiter in Litchfield ever since.
And how many Minnesota National Guard recruits are you responsible for placing?
I have over 280 enlistments under my myself.
And over what period of years was that, Sergeant McCann?
Well, with a two-year break in Iraq, it had been about 9 years.
When you recruit these young people and they come into the National Guard, do you build a good relationship with them, and is it ongoing?
Yes. The relationship starts from the first interview all the way through the process to MEPS when they join and swearing in, and after they get done, we make sure we take care of them before they go to basic training, as me and Sergeant First Class Berg. Our first sergeants in Monty and Wilmer, and we take care of these troops after they join and make sure they're getting paid and know what they're going to expect at basic training. And that's how we take care of them.
So you recruit them and you train them and you're with them all along the way?
Yes.
All right. And Sergeant Berg, how long have you been in the military?
I've been in the military since May of 1987. So I just started my 25th year.
25 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you been recruiting?
I've been recruiting since June of 1999, so about 13 years.
And how many recruits are you responsible for, Sergeant?
Just under 300. I don't know the exact number at this point.
And you see these recruits quite often?
Yes, yes. Have a very good rapport.
Now, I want to ask you both. I keep getting questions about weekend warriors and this type of stuff from civilians and old veterans like me. But is there anyone in the National Guard today that doesn't understand the nature of the National Guard?
That is actually one of the most common questions asked. When you're interviewing somebody, they say, is there a chance I'm going to get deployed? And obviously, yes. It is part of our mission. And, yeah, it is no secret. The National Guard is one of the founders of freedom for all these campaigns going on.
And, Sergeant McCann, things have changed dramatically since 9/11/2001. And the mission of the National Guard has changed. You're no longer weekend warriors, are you?
No, sir. We tell them right in the interview when they join that in their 6 years tour or 6 years with us, you'll probably end up getting deployed. And expect it, and we can't promise it, but we expect you're going to be at least deployed once, if not twice, in that 6 years. And so they understand that right away in the interview with the parents or without the parents, or right away they understand that.
Now, I suppose there were some people that signed up prior to back in the 80s like you did, when it was 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer, unless you volunteered for extra duty. It was pretty much weekend warrior, wasn't it?
Yeah. When I enlisted, there was really nothing that ever happened other than the first Gulf War. And myself, I actually wanted to go, and so I went to another school. And by the time the school was over, the first Gulf War was done. So unfortunately, I never had an opportunity to deploy. But yeah, there was really nothing happened up until 9/11 where that opportunity has come about.
Yeah, gentlemen, I don't want to belabor this point, but anybody that was under the illusion that it was still weekend warrior, they've all had an opportunity to reenlist by now. There isn't anybody left that's still laboring under the delusion of a weekend warrior, is there?
That is correct.
Sergeant McCann, is it pretty clear with all of your recruits that they know what they're in for?
Yes. They, like I said, from the first interview to me and Sergeant Berg being first sergeants, we tell them, you know, it's what their duty. You join for service to country, and that's part of the service.
All right, Sergeant McCann, I understand you've also helped recruit some family members in the Minnesota National Guard.
Yes, sir. My son Ryan has joined the National Guard. He went through as a junior in high school out of Eden Valley. And my son Nathan, who just left for basic on Monday, also joined the National Guard. He's a junior and going to be a senior out of Eden Valley.
And, of course, gentlemen, today's Father's Day, and you're both fathers. How do you feel about having your children in the National Guard?
I'm proud. I mean, service to country is something you believe in, it is in your heart. I knew as a senior when I joined that I was going to join the service. Did not matter which branch. I'm proud of my sons that they've taken a step up to the plate like their father and believe in service to country and serving this country, great country.
And Sergeant Berg, you've brought a child into the National Guard as well.
Yes, one of my daughters, she's almost completed with 5 years now. And I'm very proud of her. And it's, you know, when she first came up to me and said, Dad, I'm thinking I want to join the National Guard. Of course, my wife, her jaw dropped, and she was pretty excited. But she understands that, you know, it's what I've done forever. And, yeah, I'm very proud of her.
We're speaking with Sergeant First Class John McCann and Sergeant First Class Tim Berg, recruiters for the Minnesota National Guard that have recruited their children and family members on this Father's Day edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Sergeant McCann, have you got any special plans for Father's Day?
Go to the father-in-law's and maybe play some cards, see if I can beat them a euchre.
Sergeant Berg, you doing anything exciting this day?
Well, I'm actually going to take my wife out. She actually just lost her father this past week. So we're going to go and do something together and try and get her mind off of tough times.
Sergeant Berg, I gotta ask you. I've only got a son, but if I had a daughter that was joining the Guard, did you get reports on her when she was in basic training?
Actually, the funniest report I got from basic training is when she called me and said, "Dad, you're supposed to send my cell phone down here," and I pretty much had a heart attack, saying, "Why would you need a cell phone at basic training?" And apparently nowadays, the drill sergeants prefer them to have their cell phones when they have free time, other than standing in line at the phone banks like we did when we were in training.
Is there free time at basic training?
I guess there's a little.
Well, there weren't cell phones when I was there either.
No.
So she made it through basic just fine.
Yes, she did.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to have to take a short break, but we'll continue our conversation with Sergeants John McCann and Sergeant Tim Berg after this break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking with Sergeant First Class John McCann and Sergeant First Class Tim Berg, recruiters for the Minnesota National Guard that have recruited their children and family members and several hundred others each into the Minnesota National Guard. Sergeant Berg, tell me, what is it like to be a recruiter for the Minnesota National Guard? How do you do that?
Since I started recruiting, I take my job very seriously. I'm very passionate about what I do. It's not about the number. It's about how you treat people. And it's, you know, back in the old days, like they may say, people didn't view the military as, you know, their first choice. Whereas with the economy that we have going on and everything happening, we've got service to country. You know, we've got kids that really need help paying for college. And, you know, if you're truly honest and take a look at it, these people will come back and they're like, yeah, this is a, you know, a choice I need to make to enhance my career. So, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very, very honest with them, open with them. Yes, you're joining the military. It's not the Boy Scouts, you know, and there's nothing wrong with the Boy Scouts, of course, but this, you know, this is a serious, serious matter. So that's what we're doing.
It's serious business, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Gentlemen, when I was in the Air Force 100 years ago, there was a draft on, and about half the soldiers that were in the units didn't want to be there. And it was the morale was really funny. But the last few years, I've been it's been my honor to get to know a lot of Minnesota National Guard's troops. And it seems to me the Minnesota National Guard is a place that people want to be a part of. People want to be there. They're professional. They're proud. They're passionate. They're good people. It's a whole different attitude, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And it, like you're saying, there is a draft then. We have an all-volunteer army. There's nobody that's, you know, coming into any surprises. This is what they're signing up for, and it's a great organization for them to be a part of.
And Sergeant Berg, for young people to join the Guard, the benefits for education and so forth, what is there?
The benefits, you know, you're looking at 100% of your college paid for, the discipline, the camaraderie, you know, selfless service, the stuff that you learn when you go to training, you're going to bring back and use the rest of your lives. And sometimes for some people, it's a great eye opener. You know, they really see what the real world is all about, and it prepares them for a future.
Sergeant McCann, some of the training that these citizen soldiers get, they help them. It helps in their civilian jobs too, doesn't it?
Yes, it can. We have, like my son Nathan, he's going to be an electrician, and hopefully he can do some electrical work for me someday. But, you know, just my other son, Ryan, the elder son, he's going to be a communication. He is communication, number one in his class. So, I mean, these things will just help him in different areas in their future.
Sergeant McCann, you were deployed with the Red Bulls for a couple of years. Having been deployed and being a recruiter, how do you feel about some of the troops that you've recruited, having gone on deployments and so forth? Does it give you a special feeling, or do you worry about them like kids?
I do worry about all my troops. I started in Willmar 3 years as recruiting and 3 years in St. Cloud. And the first time the Red Bull went, I knew 30 of my troops were gone. I volunteered to go with them as retention NCO. So then I came back, and I went and checked around on them to make sure everybody's okay. That was my job, retention and replacement NCO in Iraq. And I made sure people were, you know, morale was up, and that was part of my job, is to just make sure people are get what they ask for and, you know, getting paid and everything like that. Just take care of the troops.
Sergeant McCann, you started telling me a while ago a story about that deployment having to do with your son. Can you tell us that?
Oh, my. When we were at Shelby, we got a four-day pass, and I flew back to watch him play football in Eden Valley. He was a sophomore, actually, and they let him play at the very end of the game, and they're back up in the end zone. I was just, as a father, just hoping he wouldn't get sacked in the end zone. They gave him the ball, and he ran at 99 yards for a school record at the end of the game. The coach gave me the football. It's pretty awesome, and said, good luck in Iraq. And then I took the ball, football, to Iraq with me. Got pictures with General Osorio and Major Osterkamp and many other people. And then I brought it back and I gave it to my son when I got back. So it was
I'll bet
awesome.
That'll be in the family trophy case for hundreds of years.
Hope so.
Sergeant McCann, once again, coming back from a deployment and having been there and knowing a lot of those folks that are there, what kind of advice would you give our fathers out there today who have children thinking about joining the Guard and perhaps being exposed to those deployments? As Sergeant Berg said, it's an all-volunteer force now. They're my heroes. They keep coming back, and they keep being deployed, and they keep serving our country. It's terrific. But for those that are thinking of joining and those other fathers out there today that maybe have some kids, children, thinking of joining the Guard or the other armed forces, any advice?
Yes, support them. You know, don't, you know, make sure they're joining for the right reason. Support them. And, you know, I'll be proud of them. It's not very, half the people don't make it in the military. So you just want to make sure you support them in any way you can. It's a great benefit for the family if they use it well, and it'll help them out in college and in their life as a leader. We teach leadership skills in every one of our enlisted and officer organizations, so it's great. I'm a career builder for people.
I know when my son joined the military, I was proud of him, but that doesn't mean that my wife and I didn't worry about him every day, and fortunately he came home safely. Sergeant Berg, any advice to the parents of children thinking to join?
Yes, you want to be open. If your child comes home and says, you know, Mom or Dad, I've been thinking about joining the military, have a recruiter come out, go over, you know, what they have to offer, and give them the chance to listen to them. Don't shun them and say no, because what's going to happen is, you know, children, they may rebel or whatever, and eventually they're going to do something on their own or possibly make a poor decision. But take that time, be able to listen with them, ask questions, and get real answers.
Sergeant McCann, any final thoughts for our listeners on Father's Day?
Any parents that have children at basic training right now, include my son Nathan, who just shipped out on Monday. I just got a call Wednesday, and they told me exactly when he's gonna complete his basic training, and I'll be able to fly down there for family day and be able to see him. So I already can, 2 months out, I already can know the dates I'll be able to see his graduation from basic. So be aware your sons and daughters will be calling you up on the date they'll be graduating.
Sergeant Berg, any final thoughts on Father's Day?
I just want to wish all the dads out there a happy Father's Day, and if whether you're fishing or picnicking or whatever it is, have a great time.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. That was Sergeant First Class John McCann and Sergeant First Class Tim Berg, recruiters for the Minnesota National Guard, on this Father's Day edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. When Marilyn Stomberg's son-in-law deployed to Iraq shortly after 9/11, she asked him what she could do to help. He jotted down a list of items his unit needed, and Marilyn went to work. She started by asking friends and family for help, and eventually she had enough goods to fill and send 100 care packages overseas. Almost 10 years after sending her first care packages, Marilyn continues to support deployed service members and their families back home. In March, she organized volunteers to send over 10,000 Girl Scout cookies and many pounds of coffee to Afghanistan. Each package contained a handwritten note thanking those service members for their sacrifice. Most recently, Marilyn adopted a Navy family living across the street. The father is deployed in Afghanistan, leaving the mother alone with four small children. With household chores suddenly becoming the mother's sole responsibility, Marilyn has stepped in. She watches the kids during the day, and some evenings Marilyn brings the young family cookies or a hot dish supper. She even set up a calendar so community members could prepare meals for the family each week. As we speak, the Boy Scouts are providing lawn care, and the fire station is getting ready to help paint a fence. Thank you, Marilyn Stomberg, for showcasing how remarkable individuals are going beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring our service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Marilyn Stomberg, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport with Deborah Kane. That's right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelado.
This morning, I want to spend a few moments recognizing fathers across Minnesota. These dads might be veterans. They might be currently serving or in harm's way, or they might have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in service of this country. This is a time when the community comes together to acknowledge fathers for their love, strength, protection, and guidance. The influence of the fathers has had a tremendous impact on families and society overall. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role you have played in the lives of our children and family across Minnesota. Actions speak volumes about love and commitment, and simply being there sets the example and grounds our children. This Father's Day, I encourage dads to spend time instilling the importance of service and volunteering to the community, to those in need, and to this country. This is a time to demonstrate to our children the power of serving others. Not only does it help our children grow and develop into generous and caring adults, it also gives back. On behalf of everyone here in the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the nearly 400,000 veterans across this great state, best wishes for a wonderful and meaningful day of celebration.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelado. You can find out more about Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Deborah Kane joins us. She is the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Deborah, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom.
Can you tell me, I understand the Armed Forces Service Center is unique to Minnesota. Can you tell me about what you do and where you're located?
Yes, it is unique to Minnesota. Pardon me. It was founded in 1970 by Maggie Purdom when her son died in Vietnam. And since then, the board of directors have worked very diligently in making sure that our doors never closed in 40 years.
Now, the Armed Forces Service Center is independent. It's a 501c3 foundation.
Yes, it is.
So everybody thinks that, you know, that Veterans Center at the airport, that's part of the USO. It's not true, is it?
That's correct. No, we are not affiliated with the USO, and we receive no funding from the USO. All of our funds are from the local veterans organizations and the businesses and private individuals.
Now, is the service center open 24 hours a day?
Yes, it is, 24/7. We never close. During 9/11, during the 5 days that all flights were grounded, we had 16 Marines that we provided food and shelter for.
My goodness. Now, the service center, you take care of all current active duty reserve guard folks that pass through the airport?
Yes, active duty military personnel, their dependents, activated guard reservists, DOD personnel, and active duty military from around the world are friendly allies.
Now, I have to admit, I haven't been in the service center for probably since you just opened when I came back from Vietnam. But can you tell us what does it look like? What type of services do you provide? How often do people come?
Well, first, thank you for your service. Welcome home.
Thank you.
We provide, first of all, we have 200 volunteers, very dedicated volunteers, that provide food, shelter, any assistance that our military guests need. We have netbooks. We have a satellite TV. We have free Wi-Fi, thanks to Boingo. And then we also have a DSN line and cell phones if they need it. Now so we're pretty self-sufficient.
Sounds like you've got a lot of goodies there for the troops.
Yes.
So on an average day, how many soldiers come through?
Well, we average about 1,500 a month. And right now, our numbers in terms of how many active duty have passed through our doors since 1970, we are at over 730,000.
My goodness. That's a lot of troops.
Yes, it is.
Now, do some of them have long layovers? Is there a place where they can take a nap? What's the typical stay and what do they do? And
Yes, we have 20 sleeping bunks for men and 6 for women. And then we have a bathroom. We have free toiletries, anything that they need. And we do have individuals sometimes that stay as long as 3 days. We can extend our courtesies for at least 72 hours if you're stranded at the airport.
So are there facilities to take showers and things like that?
We do have a shower, but it's pretty much, you know, on a limited basis. Like if you're a combat military coming home and you have a 5-hour layover, then we can, on a case-by-case basis, make an exception.
Okay. So they come in and they relax a little bit, some friendly faces.
Oh, yes.
Did you indicate that you feed them as well?
Yes. We provide an assortment of snacks, anything from grilled cheese to hot dogs to peanut butter and jelly, which is a favorite, and then assorted various goodies and beverages and coffee.
Now, you're the executive director, but I'll bet you've pulled a lot of hours out there, too.
I do. I'm an Army brat, so, you know, I tend to be a little dedicated and very passionate, which I think you should be.
And how long have you been involved with the Air Force or with the Armed Forces Service Center?
I started 1 month after 9/11.
Okay, so quite a few years.
Yes.
And you're still smiling. You must like it.
I do. I do enjoy my job. I just think that it's, you know, for those that give of their service, it's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to give back. So technically, it's a part-time job, but I put in a lot more hours than that. But, you know, so do the volunteers. You have to lead by example.
Well, you said you have 200 volunteers, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's a lot of hours to cover.
Oh, yes. And we have volunteers that work on a weekly, biweekly basis. Some come once a month. Some work double shifts. Just we have been very, very fortunate that whenever the need, they are there. They never, ever have said no when we call in and say we need extra volunteers for help.
So they come from all over the Twin Cities or all over the state?
All over the Twin City area, pretty much. Some as far as like Buffalo. It's probably the farthest that we have volunteers. We had some from Cannon Falls, and they would come rain, hail, sleet, or snowstorm.
We're speaking with Deborah Kane, the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Deborah, I understand that you have some troop greeters.
Oh, yes. Like our respected counterparts in Bangor, Maine, and in Dallas, we have a core group of troop greeters. And the way we started was in October 2006. I happened to be working late. I received a phone call. The caller said, this is Second Lieutenant Rich Bridget calling out of Iraq. We're on a 30-second delay, sir, ma'am, calling for support. I said, go ahead, sir. And then he just said, we're on our way to Conway Bay, 310 Marines. Can you provide support? And I said, go ahead, sir. And then he just kept saying what they wanted. And then at 6 a.m., 17 volunteers, with the help of many people at MSP Airport, they made it happen. Everything from airport police, the Metropolitan Airports Commission, TSA, Customs. We greeted our first flight, 310, and we provided everything that they needed, toiletries, hot dogs, and we were there.
So did you greet them at the gate? How did this work?
Well, they had us in a special designated area at that time. But now, since then, we're at, 222 flights, 63,000 combat troops as of June, June 13th, 2011. And then we have some other flights coming up.
So if you know the schedule and they're coming through, then you make arrangements to have special volunteers and provide whatever you can.
Well, the troop greeters actually, they're required to volunteer in our facility at least twice a month. And then we also greet the military charter buses out of Fort McCoy and various other locations. So we've greeted over 450 military charter buses, 20,000 troops, and we greet them anywhere between 2 and 6 in the morning. So the troop greeters have airport badges. Thanks to Krauss Anderson, we have denim shirts, so we're identifiable. And we greet the buses first. You start off as a troop greeter there, and then you graduate to the military charter flights. So now we have about 35 troop greeters. And we have stayed with, a military charter flight. The longest we have stayed is 27 hours, then 15 hours, then 12 hours. We don't leave until they leave.
My goodness, I want to ask you a few more questions about that, but we have to take a short break.
Okay.
We'll continue our conversation with Deborah Kane in just a few moments. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Deborah Kane, the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Deborah, before we went to the break, you were telling me about these troop greeters, and you lost me a little bit. I didn't know you do this. But when troop planes come through, and if it's their last stop on the way out of the country going to deployment, they radio ahead and tell you how many troops are on it and what they'd like and what type of things they ask for, and how does that work?
Yes, we work closely with the various air carriers for the military charter flights, and then they pretty much leave up what they want to us because we've been doing it for so long. Like, for example, on our outbounds, they're usually very, very hungry. So everything from McDonald's burgers to Egg McMuffins, snacks, Mountain Dew, coffee, chocolate, Girl Scout cookies, because they have donated a lot of Girl Scout cookies, and Costco has donated a lot of muffins. So a lot of the local companies have really helped us a lot.
So they stop these charter planes at a special gate area that's cordoned off, and they get off the planes and relax for a little while, and you feed them and take care of them, and then off they go.
That's correct. Yes, they are with us for about 2 hours.
And when they're coming back, do they want different things than when they're leaving?
Oh, yes. When they touch down for their first touchdown on U.S. soil, coffee, toiletries, chocolate, and calling home.
And how often do you greet these flights in addition to what you do in the service center?
Well, let's see. Our 200th flight was March 10th, 2011. And then as of June 13th, we were at 222. So we did 22 flights between March 10th and June 13th. So it pretty much depends, and we're gearing up for the troop drawdown in July.
So you get some advanced notice of these flights?
Yes, we do. Same thing, military charter buses and military charter flights.
So then someone in your organization must be calling the volunteers saying, we got another flight, we got another bus, come on in here.
Actually, I do it by email. Everything is done via email. Yep, so the troop greeters are alerted by email.
Okay, then we got to get to the next question. You told me you have 200 volunteers.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's some turnover.
Yes, there is.
How many more volunteers do you need, and how do people contact you if they'd like to come out and help?
We are always in need of volunteers. Our greatest need is from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. We have volunteers, 2 volunteers per 4-hour shift, and they can reach us and obtain an application and find out more about volunteering at our website, which is MNAF, as in Foxtrot, S as in Sierra, C as in Charlie, .org.
MNAFSC.org.
Yes.
And you're always signing up new volunteers, I would guess.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And they're welcome.
And we talked earlier also about the fact that you're not affiliated with the USO. You're an independent organization, been there for 40 years. Must cost some money to provide all of the things that you provide.
Oh, yes. It costs about $120,000 a year to run our facility, and we go through an annual audit, which is required as our 501(c) organization, and funding is what we always need. You can go through Give Minnesota, go to our website, click on the donation page, but we are always in need of funds. You can give $20, you can give $200 or $2,000. We take all donations, and they are greatly appreciated and needed.
And it's a 501(c)(3) nonprofit foundation.
That's correct.
Okay, so you're always looking for volunteers and you're always looking for money.
Yes, we're always looking for volunteers and we're always in need of funds.
But there's plenty of troops and plenty of veterans to take care of.
Oh, yes, there are, because there's a lot of troop movement that comes through MSP.
Now, for everyone that perhaps hasn't visited the center, where is it again? Which terminal and where do they find it?
We're at Terminal 1 Lindbergh. We are in the ticket area on the mezzanine, right above Door 1 by Houlihan's Restaurant.
So it's easy to find.
Yes.
And is everyone that works there, all the volunteers, do they smile as nice as you?
Yes, they do. Probably more so.
All right. And can you tell us once again, how many troops have you taken care of last year?
Over 730,000. And then combat troops via military charter flight, 63,000. And by military charter bus, 20,000. And that's by bus since 2003, by military charter flight since 2006. And in terms of military personnel passing through our facility since 1970.
Now, do you also accept some product from manufacturers or the things that you're looking for?
Oh, yes. Without the donated goods, we would not be able to provide the items that we do for the military charter flights. Water is in high demand, Mountain Dew. We're always in need of ballpark franks, of hot dog buns, bread, any type of snacks. Greatly, greatly needed. And then Caribou Coffee donates the coffee that we have. Without that, we would not be able to greet these military charter flights.
And you also said you provide some toiletries and wipes and things?
Oh, yes. Toiletries are greatly needed. Razors, shaving cream are high demand. Toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, those are high demand items.
Okay, we're just about out of time, Deborah, but can you tell us again if someone wants to volunteer, where do they go?
Oh, please, yes. They can go to our website, www.mnafsc.org, or you can call our office, 612-726-9156.
And if they want to donate some money or some products, same thing?
Yes, please. Right on our website, we have a link to a donation page, and you can do it through Minnesota Gives or PayPal, or call the office or send a check.
Deborah, you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us today. That was Deborah Kane, the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Let's take a look in the mailbag to see the listener question of the week. Joining us this week is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network. Sergeant Nelson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tom. Well, we have a letter from Brenda here this week. She writes, I'm part of a group putting on a free Armed Forces family fishing celebration, including breakfast, lunch, trophies for kids on June 24th. Can you share it with your listeners?
Sounds like we just did.
Yeah. We did just do it, didn't we? And I have a little more information on that event. We've posted it on our website at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. But the event is called Fishing for Life, and it's put on by Muskies, Inc. and Maynards. And this Armed Forces Family Celebration is on Lake Minnetonka on June 24th. And we've learned that participants who register should want to arrive between 6:30 and 7 o'clock for a quick breakfast, and then they're going to hop on these fishing guides, boats, and go around the lake and fish. After a few hours of fishing, they're going to go back to Maynard's for lunch and a big ceremony with trophies and medals for youth participants.
And who can attend and how do they register?
Oh, good question, Tom. This event, this Fishing for Life, is exclusively for youth and their families who have a family member in the armed forces, be it Army, Navy, Marines, National Guard, whatever. Even for wounded warriors and veterans, they really want to make sure that they extend this offer out to recently returned veterans. And how you sign up, you can go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on our events and deals page, and the information is right there. Or you can go directly to their website on their online registration. It's a little tricky, Tom. It's www.affsc.eventbrite.com. That's a little tricky, so I would just go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on events and deals. If you have any questions, you call Brenda directly, and that's at 763-245-9829. And Brenda tells me that this is going to take place on June 24th, rain or shine.
And what should they bring?
Well, they should bring a fishing license for adults. And she says to bring a rod and a life jacket, if you have them. But if you don't, they'll take care of you.
Very good. Thank you, Sergeant Nelson.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Sergeant Melanie Nelson. And if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this Father's Day edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Sergeants First Class John McCann and Tim Berg from the Minnesota National Guard Recruiters, Deborah Kane, the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the 1st Cav, and we're joined by retired Major General Harry Sieben to talk about his career and the Civilian Marksmanship Program. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week, and I wish you all a very happy Father's Day.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.